Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going through the book of Romans, chapter 4, concerning the issues of salvation, justification, talking about Abraham and David and how they were prime examples of how God saved sinners. And today I want to preach to you on this subject, the assurance of faith. The assurance of faith. And we're going to begin down here in verse 13. It's where I left off last time on this issue of salvation by grace. And he's talking about a promise. Verse 13, for the promise. Now, the promise was given to Abraham that he should be heir of the world. That's taken from Genesis 17. You know, God made a covenant with Abraham. That covenant was established first in Genesis chapter 12. It was reestablished, reconfirmed, and built upon in Genesis 15 and Genesis 17. And he talks about the promise that Abraham should be the heir of the world. And he says this. He said, it was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of faith. Now, I've been talking about in this passage how what the Apostle Paul is doing, he's using Abraham, and then he used David too, King David, as prime examples of how God justifies the ungodly. Another way of putting it is how God saves sinners. Now, what is it to be justified? You see, a person who is saved by the grace of God is one who is justified before God. And what is it to be justified? It means to have all of my sins forgiven on a just ground. And the only just ground that you will find in the Bible, preached out in the gospel, is the blood of Jesus Christ. God doesn't forgive me based upon my faith, my believing in Him. God doesn't forgive me based upon my decision. And certainly God does not forgive me based upon my repentance or my good works. You see, this forgiveness of sins is by grace through the blood of Christ. And that's why I tell you all the time, the ones whom Christ died for, they will be forgiven. They will be saved. It's not everybody without exception, because everybody without exception does not give evidence of being united to Christ in His death, because they don't believe in Him. That faith that brings us to believe in Him is the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So to be justified is to be forgiven on a just ground. And that's the blood of Christ. But to be justified also means to be declared legally, honestly, really righteous in God's sight, not by, again, based on a just ground. And what is the only just ground? It's the imputed righteousness of Christ. And we've talked about that. We talked about it up here in verse 11, where we talked about that righteousness is imputed unto all of Abraham's spiritual seed. And that's all believers. Well, down here in verse 13, for the promise. Well, the promise is the gospel here. Because this promise that he's talking about in Romans 4 is not the promise of the physical land of promise that was given to the Jews for a period of time under the Old Covenant, about 1,500 years under the Old Covenant. That was a temporary promise that was given to Abraham's physical descendants, the Jews. And they were given that land for 1,500 years until God was finished with them. And that was marked by the coming of Christ into the world and abolishing that old covenant law. You see, that's what the book of Hebrews is about, how Christ fulfilled it. He abolished that covenant by way of fulfillment. That's why we don't have an earthly high priest to go in to the Holy of Holies, the temple, the tabernacle. That's why we don't sacrifice animals today. See, those were all types of Christ. Christ fulfilled them. But see, God made Abraham many promises. Some of them were physical and temporary and applied to the physical nation of the Jews. But the mainstay of those promises, the promise that God gave to Abraham, was spiritual and eternal to God, to Abraham's spiritual seed, and were fulfilled by Christ in eternal salvation. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 13 of Romans 4. For the promise that he should be heir of the world in what sense? God has a people, his elect. That's what they're called in the Bible. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's what it says, Romans 8:33. God has a people all over this world out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And there's no national barrier, there's no racial barrier, no sexual barrier as far as male and female. In Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, all of that. We're all one in Christ. And so he's heir of the world in that sense. And it was not to Abraham, verse 13, it was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. This salvation, this promise, this justification, these blessings of eternal life, these benefits, were not given to Abraham or to any descendant, spiritual descendant of Abraham, through the law. It wasn't conditioned on you or me. It wasn't by our law keeping. It wasn't by our works. Now, most of Abraham's physical descendants missed that message. And you can read about that over in the book of Romans, chapter 9. Why did they miss that message? Because they insisted upon salvation, righteousness, by works of the law. Over in Romans chapter 9, he says in verse 31, now listen to this. He says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness. Now the law was given to show the perfect standard of righteousness that man, fallen men and women, sinners, cannot attain by their works. But because of self-righteousness and pride, because of the darkness of their minds, and that's what we all are by nature now until God gives us light, and God left them in that darkness, because of that, they insisted on trying to establish righteousness, work righteousness by their works. And it says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. This is Romans 9:31. Wherefore? Or in other words, why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Now, what is it to seek righteousness by faith? Does that mean that my faith equals or is the equivalent of righteousness? My believing? No. Doesn't mean that at all. Here's what it means. Look at verse 32. He said, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion, a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, he's talking about Christ here. This is a prophecy of Christ from the book of Isaiah. And what did God send Christ into the world to do? To establish righteousness. And look at chapter 10 of Romans, verse 1. Paul writes, by inspiration of the Spirit, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They're lost. Paul's saying, I'm praying for their salvation. And he says in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're religious. They're sincere. They're zealous, but they're ignorant. And what are they ignorant of? Well, verse 3 tells us, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. It says, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If you're trying to make yourself right with God based upon your works, whatever work it is now, that means you're ignorant of what God requires, His righteousness. And what is that right? It's the righteousness of God, and He defines it in Romans 10:4. He says, for Christ is the end of the law. That means the finishing of it. That means the fulfillment of it. For righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you're a true believer, you realize, recognize, admit, and confess that you have no righteousness in yourself, and even your best works cannot make you so, that you are submitted to the perfection of the righteousness of the law that can only be found in Christ. He is the Lord my righteousness. I have none of my own. So back in Romans chapter 4, this promise of righteousness by faith. Now that's what that is. It's not righteousness because we believe. It's not our believing is our righteousness. It's the righteousness of faith because it brings us to Christ, who is our righteousness. Down there in Romans 10, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That is, he believes in Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And so in he says in verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It wasn't salvation by works, but through the righteousness of faith. It was salvation by God's grace that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he says in verse 14, now look at Romans 4:14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, in other words, if they who are trying to be saved by the law, if they're heirs of what Abraham had, the spiritual blessings and benefits of salvation, faith is made void. What God promised is made void. Their believing is made void. And the promise made of none effect. Now, Paul virtually said the same thing in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. When he said this, he said, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if you can be saved, if you can be forgiven, if you can be right with God, based on your works, conditions that you meet, then Christ would not have had to come and suffer and bleed and die and be buried and arose and raised again the third day. If I can be saved by my efforts, by my decisions, then Christ died in vain. That's what he's saying. So you understand what's happening here. Anyone who claims to be a Christian, who believes that salvation is conditioned on them, without knowing it, their whole testimony is declaring that Christ died in vain. They may not know it or may not realize it, but ignorance is no excuse. Paul said that in Romans 10. The Jews are ignorant of God's righteousness. They didn't think they were. Paul, when he was a lost Pharisee, he thought he was doing God's service. I know for years as I grew up in false Christianity, I thought I was pleasing God, worshiping God, doing God's service. But when the light of the gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, came to my heart by the power of the Spirit, not by my own power, but by the power, I found out that I was worshiping an idol, a false Christ, a false God. And I was brought like Paul in Philippians chapter 3. To count everything but loss for the excellency of the knowledge which is in Christ Jesus alone. To count it all but dung that I may win him and be found in him. So if those who are of the law are heirs of the promises of the gospel, salvation by grace, then faith is made void and the promise is none effect. Verse 15 says, Romans 4:15, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. What does the law do to a sinner based upon that sinner's works. Well, we read it over in Romans 3. Look back at that again. Romans 3:19. He says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith then to them that who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." That's what the law does to me, to you. You see, the law, based upon my best efforts to be a good person, the law would pronounce me guilty. But now, based upon the righteousness of Christ imputed to me, I'm justified. The law cannot pronounce me guilty. I'm washed in His blood and clothed in His righteousness. I sing that song all the time. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then look at Romans 3:20. Now, what does that show us? That the law can only pronounce me guilty and condemned based upon my best efforts. It shows me this, verse 20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." You see that? By deeds of the law, no flesh. Doesn't matter who you are, what your name is. Doesn't matter your standing in society. Doesn't matter how many people admire you. Doesn't matter if they give you the key to the city, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're in the eyes of men, you're the supreme example of morality and kindness. By deeds of law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. The law works wrath. It works wrath to every sinner without Christ. My only hope of entering into the presence of God is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. That's what I'm telling you. The Bible says in Acts 17:31 that God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. That's Christ. So look at verse 16. Now here's where we come to the assurance of faith. Somebody said, "Well, you know, how can anybody have any assurance then?" Well, look at this. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." Now remember what I said about faith. Faith is knowledge. It's knowledge revealed by the grace of God, revelation, and it's knowledge received by God-given faith. Romans 1:16 and 17, remember, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, the Greek also. For therein," verse 17, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith," that's knowledge revealed, "to faith," that's knowledge received, believed. "As it is written, the justified shall live by faith." Those who are forgiven of all of their sins by the blood of Christ, those who are righteous in God's sight by His righteousness imputed, you'll know them this way. They, the justified, shall live by faith. What is it to live by faith? It's to live by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Resting in Christ, depending upon Him, looking to Him, honoring Him. So go back to verse 16 now. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." Many people claim to have faith, but it's sad to say they have faith in idols. They have faith in a God that cannot save. They have faith in themselves and their decision. Many times, you know, when people talk about their salvation, they'll go back to an experience they had when they were a young person, teenager or whatever, where they walked an aisle and they say they gave their heart to Jesus and they got baptized. My friend, that's not faith. Faith is right now looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what it is. Resting in Christ. Forgetting those things which are behind. And looking forward to the mark of the high calling. And that's what this is. It's grace. And what is grace? Grace is unearned and undeserved favor. Everything that I have in the blessings and benefits of salvation is by grace given, freely given, everything. And Romans 5:21 says it, for as the law, as sin brings death, righteousness brings life. What it's saying there, that all that God has given me, God, all that God does for me, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what he's saying here. It's by grace. Verse 16 now. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise is sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That is, spiritual father. The supreme example. And this promise is not sure to any who are of the law, because the only assurance you can have under the law is the assurance of condemnation and eternal death. But the assurance that we have in Christ, the surety of the covenant. How do I know that how can I have assurance of salvation? It's not by looking at myself. What I've done, what I've tried to do, what I intend to do. It's not even for looking for the gifts and graces of the Spirit within me. You see, that's a sliding scale, isn't it? But God judges by righteousness, perfection, that can only be found in Christ. So how can I have any assurance of salvation? Only as I look to and rest in Christ for all righteousness. He is my righteousness. God will not turn any sinner away who pleads the blood and righteousness of Christ. I quoted it last week. All that the Father giveth, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me, Christ said, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You come to him. You rest in him. And in verse 17, he says, Romans 4:7, he said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. This is the spiritual seed of Abraham. Before him who believed, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. You see that? That's regeneration. That's the new birth. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now what that means is this. God is not pretending. He's not calling something righteous when it is not righteous. But he is the only one who sees reality in its fullness and completeness. We don't see that. Think about it this way. I'm righteous before God. But you can't see that by looking at me. Even my preaching here. Even when I stand behind the pulpit in our church services on Sunday. You may say, well, now look at that preacher. He's a pretty good guy. Yeah. You don't see the reality of it. You know, Paul dealt with that in Romans chapter 7 when he was talking about the struggle as a believer, the struggle he has with sin. Every believer struggles with sin. Paul even made this statement. He said, I want to do good, but I don't know how. What is he talking about? Don't you know how to do right by people and keep the civil laws? Paul, what's wrong with you? Are you insane? No. He's talking about goodness in God's sight. The perfection of the law. If God's Spirit is within us, we have a desire to be like Christ. To love like He loved. To obey like He obeyed. To worship and honor the Father like He did. Perfectly. But I don't know how to do that because I live within this old wretched man. Remember Paul said it in Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You see that? If I just spend my time, I know what I am by nature. I know that my best efforts to keep the law fall short of the perfection of righteousness that I can only find in Christ. And that by the grace of God. So, if I spend my time looking within myself and dealing with myself and try to say, well, you know, I'm better than what I used to be and all that, I can't find any assurance there. And if I do, it's self-righteousness. But as I look to Christ, as I read of Him in the Bible, who He is, God manifest in the flesh, as I read what He accomplished on Calvary to save me from my sins, shed His precious blood unto death, oh, the blood of Christ. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold. We're not redeemed by our works, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. He was made sin, the Scripture says. What does that mean? It means the sins of His people were imputed, charged to Him. Their debt. And He came and He died. He literally died. The God-man died. That's who He is. God manifest in the flesh. And rose again the third day. That's where assurance is. And He says in verse 18, "Who against hope believed in hope." That hope is the absolute certainty of salvation and eternal life based upon a just ground. And what is that just ground? It's the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's the assurance of faith. That's how we come to be settled in our minds and our hearts. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.